Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Reading from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, this sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knees to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is also a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is of no grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So far we read God's holy and blessed word. And truly it is the Holy Bible, the holy word of the living God. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of it and willingness to obey it. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for so many blessings that we have that others do not have. Even one of the blessings of being able to read the Word, which many of the people throughout the world cannot do. Many not having heard thy Word, and many that may have heard it, but do not have it in their possession. Many that do not have it preached to them, as we read here. How can they call on him when they not believe? And how can they believe in him when they not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? We pray, Father, that many might be called to preach the gospel, and that all the fields that are white under the harvest, that where the laborers are few, may be filled, and there will be the preaching of the gospel throughout the whole world, and that which was spoken of by the psalmist might be fulfilled in our time, if it could be thy will, even in the midst of the terrible falling away, that all the ends of the earth shall hear and fear and turn unto thee. And we know that that can happen suddenly, as it did in some areas with a great awakening. And we know it can happen to all the ends of the earth as well. We pray that the things that have been spoken of, been promised, been prophesied, could be fulfilled in our time, if it could be thy will, both to Jew and to Gentile. We know there are many promises that are yet unfulfilled. We know there are many promises that have been fulfilled in thy coming, Lord Jesus, in thy living, in thy dying, in thy being buried and rising again, then returning to the right hand of the Father. And we pray, Father, that that which is spoken of so wonderfully, that has been fulfilled, we might truly believe and be thankful for it, and especially the gospel, which is Christ dying according to the Scripture, and being buried, and rising again according to the Scripture, that we might say it again and again to ourselves, to believe it rightly, to be thankful for it, that it comes, as Paul could say, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and as he could say, of whom I am chief, and that all of us might believe thy word in that way, as we read of one who heard it and believed it, and then we even hear of others who read about that person and in turn believed it also. And we pray that there might be many that will do that today instead of so few, as we sadly have to say. And we pray, Father, that once again, both we as individuals and as homes and churches may have the fear of thee, which is the beginning of wisdom. And we pray for that first in our individual lives, in our churches, in our homes, and then that we can pray for it as well amongst the leaders of nations, and especially our own, and the leaders in the country, the leaders in the state, the leaders locally in our cities. We pray for all of them. And we pray, Father, that we might realize that they will rise no higher than our homes and no higher than our churches, and that we might realize the terrible ways that our homes are in, the brokenness of them, the disobedience of them, and all the calamities that are there, and the terribleness for the children of those homes, that the church might realize that it is part of the problem, that the church has followed tradition rather than truth, and the church has not made known thy word, Lord Jesus, as thou hast said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. We have been negligent in our carelessness, sometimes even in our disobedience openly, and we pray, Father, that thou wilt make us to realize it in repentance, in a godly sorrow, that we might come as the church at Corinth did, having fervent mourning over our sin, which is great and terrible, and leads not only to the broken homes, but leads to the murder of the unborn, and our homes and the condition of them are as much as fault as other reasons. And we blame our government for making wrong laws, what are called Roe versus Wade. We pray that that may be reversed, but we fear that that is not going to stop abortion, that it must be stopped in our individual lives and in our homes, and the church must be a part of it before we can expect more from the government. And we pray, Father, that we might hang our heads in shame, that we have not been a salt and a light as we should be. We pray for thy blessing also of the temporal things, the sick, that thou would give healing to many in our assemblies, in our families, and round about us. We pray especially for those that will soon meet thee in death, that will be left in their sickness, that they may be prepared for that hour, And we pray for others that there might be healing if it could be thy will. We pray also for grace if it is not thy will. We pray for the hungry. We pray for the homeless, the many that have been made homeless in our country and other countries, the fires, the winds, the tornadoes, the floods, the earthquakes, all these calamities that have come, and help us to see that it is thy judgment and not the foolishness of so-called climate change, but it is all in thy hand, everything, and we may know that the wind does not blow without thy ordering it. And we give thanks for the blessings that we have in nature when others are suffering, and we pray for them, and we pray for those who are directly helping them. We pray for the other calamities that are there throughout the world. We pray for each one that is suffering, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for all these, and pray through Christ there might be blessing in the midst of the suffering, as thou hast said, especially those that are persecuted will be blessed for thy name's sake, through Christ. Amen. We pray especially for awakening, that we might be awake, as Paul wrote to three of the churches, Corinth, Rome, Ephesians, calling all of them to awake. And if they needed to be awakened, how much more do we need to be awakened? Especially be awakened to the sinfulness of sin. If there's not a realization of that, we won't be awakened rightly to the blessing of Christ and what he did. We won't see the blessing of he being made a curse for us unless we see that we are ourselves cursed. That must come. If that doesn't come, if we don't know that, then going back to one of the earlier verses that we didn't read, the last part of verse 16, Lord, who hath believed our report? Sinners will believe it. Sinners will believe the gospel, but not the righteous. Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we must see, as we have the examples of it in Scripture, with the Lord Jesus especially, teaching, but they didn't want to hear. We can read it in John 15, where Christ said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none of the men did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. That was directly through Christ, and it was also before that by the prophets when they represented God, and also after that by the apostles, Peter, James, John. They were beaten. James was killed. Peter and John were beaten and put in prison. Paul was stoned, and they tried to kill him, all because they were bringing the message of Christ that exposed their sin, but also gave them the message of the gospel, the good news that Christ died for sinners. But it's not good news. Two people think they're good. For them, the good news is themselves, believing in themselves. As Paul said, even of these people that he prayed for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto God's righteousness or the righteousness of God. There's the answer to the question, Lord, who hath believed our report? Not those that are establishing their own righteousness. And there's much of that. I know it. I was in it. I did it. I compared myself with others instead of the holy law of God, the holy word of God. As soon as I would know that, as Paul could say of himself, I had not known sin, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Sin revived, and I died. We must face it by the word of God. Yes, we must hear the gospel, but we must also hear the law. We must not mix the two. We have no righteousness by the law, but we will learn the need of our righteousness by the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That was the problem, as we could see in the earlier part of this 10th chapter, and now coming to the last part, who have believed our report? Not the self-righteous people. The 18th verse, so then, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Father described in the last verse of the chapter But to Israel he saith, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Christ pictured that very plainly to Nicodemus when he gave that wonderful message of the gospel that we know so well, probably one of the best known verses in Scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Without the gospel, we will perish eternally, you and I. That's our natural state. Not only our natural state, born with it, but that's the state we choose to stay in. Christ speaks of that a little bit later. The same message to Nicodemus. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. We love the perishing state. Not really believing it is that way, but it is. God said so. And if we don't believe it, we just add sin to sin. The sin of unbelief. The sin of pride. Because there's none that are righteous. No, not one. The psalmist makes that very, very plain. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand. Any that did see God. And there was none. He didn't see you or me doing that. He saw us as lovers of self. He saw us as in pride. And the more religion we have without true repentance, true humbling, true acknowledgement of what God says about ourselves, the more proud we'll be. And as I've often said, it's easy to have enough religion to be proud, to think we're better than others, to think we're right before God because we hear, believe, and obey. But we don't obey, not even the gospel. When Christ said, men love darkness rather than light. And he makes a stronger statement following that. Everyone that does evil hates the light. I've repeated that often, and you probably say too often. But have you and I believed it as we should? That that's our life, the natural way. Our choice, our religion, hating the light. That's why so many of the Old Testament prophets were killed. And Christ had to say, which of the prophets have not your fathers killed and stoned those who are come to them? Why did they refuse Christ? We read it from John 15. Before he came, they had no sin. Now they had no cloak for their sin and exposed their hatred of Christ. It's there, not only with them, not only with the leaders, not only with Pilate, not only with the soldiers, but all of us together. Yes, as Isaiah said, when we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, not just of some, of men, of all. And that's what Paul is here dealing with, and he has to deal with it sadly. Prayer, my heart's desire and prayer, that they might be saved, and the end, still the hopelessness of it. But to Israel he saith, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. They had killed Christ, and they wanted to kill Paul from the very beginning of his being converted and saved. It didn't take long. After he was saved, he began to preach Christ. They wanted to kill him, and they tried to, and they even stoned him, and he was picked up for dead, and not usually by the world, but when the Gentile world would believe the gospel through Paul's preaching, the Jews would come and stir up the people. They would show their hatred, their jealousy, their pride. We can read it so often through the book of Acts. And finally, that's why the Romans had to rescue him, and he had to appeal to Caesar rather than be tried with the leaders of his own people. So we come to this here, but at the same time, God is beginning to call another people. He's beginning to call them that he says, were no people. They certainly were no people in the eyes of Paul's fellow Jews, of his countrymen. They despised the Gentiles. They didn't like it. They thought it was wrong when Peter went to Cornelius. When Paul said that he was called after his own fellow men wouldn't listen, God said, I'll send you to the Gentiles. We said they heard him up to that word. They did not want to hear that. They were the people. They were God's chosen. They were Abraham's seed in their thinking, but it was not true. John the Baptist said so. Generation of vipers, poisonous snakes. That's what they were. You say not, you have Abram to our father. We have to be careful today. We call sometimes people, their children, covenant children. Covenant, according to the Abrahamic promise. What is that? There's many promises. One, wonderful, that's the answer. And the other one, yes, a temporal answer of the land, but not heaven. The one that is a wonderful promise is what God told Abraham when he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Paul called that to Abraham was the gospel preached. That the law could not touch, as he said it a little bit further in that same chapter to the church at Galatia. The covenant of God in Christ, Genesis 12, verse 3. The law which was 430 years after cannot disannul all my sin, guilt before the law. If I have Christ's blood and righteousness, the law which gives the wages of sin, which is death, cannot take it away. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. The law not only shows us our sin, but demands payment for sin. The wages of sin, which is death. I've earned it. You've earned it. Everyone has earned it. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. These people here did not know that. Going back again to the first part of the chapter, for I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Christ had to say to some of the people, as well as the message of John the Baptist that we quoted a little while ago when he said, generation of vipers, say not unto yourselves, you have Abraham to your father, but Christ says you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. Substituting tradition. Paul calls it sometimes fables, half-truths. When people say today, baptism came in the place of circumcision, if that were true, would it help? Paul says, circumcision profiteth if you keep the law. Romans chapter 2, verse 25. So if baptism is the same, then baptism would profit if you keep the law. And we don't. And we do not ever read that baptism came in the place of circumcision. If it had, it would have come out with the meeting of the elders that is recorded in Acts 15. Many want to say they had to be circumcised. They want to add that to the gospel. It's very plain that that's not right, but there were some that wanted to do it. If baptism came into place, they wouldn't have had the question in the first place. They would have known it. In the second place, the apostles would have simply said, well, baptism is here. They don't have to be circumcised. It came instead. But that's not true. Paul gave very strong warning when he said, this only would I learn of you, received the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. There, he would include not only the moral law, but especially the ceremonial law in the fifth chapter. If you are circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. There's many traditions in all those lines. One of the strange parts of it is those who believe those traditions don't really agree among themselves. They have much difficulty. One says it means this. Another says, no, it means this. All in somewhat of a general way, a blessing, but they don't really agree what the blessing is. Some would say they baptize children because they are in the church of Christ, and some would say it's a promise, and others would say it's something that would do it in the act of baptism itself, and all different conclusions of what is that blessing. But we have to be careful. Is it really the blessing that they together think of it? Or does it come short of the needed blessing of Christ being himself received? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not just that teaching of receiving him, which some want to take and say, I did it, I received him, but not only that 12th verse of John chapter 1 that I quoted, but the 13th verse gives us also a very needed truth. Who were born, not of blood, not of my parents, not of the will of man, not by the works of man, but of God. everyone who receives Christ does so because they were born of God, born of the Spirit. As Christ said earlier to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If he's blind, how's he going to go to it? First of all, how's he going to know he's not in it? Must see it. Christ said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Humble yourself before God. Come as a little child. That's the initial beginning of repentance. Being humbled, knowing our sin, knowing our guilt. Coming down, not getting better. Some foolishly think, well, if I repent, I'll do better, and then God will save me. It will never come that way. It will only come when we see our sin as it is, as Paul said, to the extent I died. So sinful. Sin revived, and I died. That's repentance. I've repeated those things, but we need to pray that we state them rightly, preach them rightly, and then see it happen, as it did in the Great Awakening, as it did at the time of the Reformation. We need that again today, very, very much, with our broken homes, our divided churches, our land that is following suit, the blind leading the blind, and our whole nation is in blindness, darkness, foolishness, because as God said, if we don't acknowledge Him as Creator and don't worship Him the right way, our foolish hearts are darkened, and that has happened and is happening. And then, even a stronger statement, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Just think of that, professors who say science proves evolution, professing themselves to be wise. They're telling a lie. They're liars. Giving you Satan's lie. Professing themselves to be wise. Proves it. Science proves it. No, science has never proved anything right that is other than the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us the message of creation from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. It's there over and over and over and over again. When Paul says, God has spoken to us in these last days by His Son, not only tells us that God has spoken to us through Him, but He adds with it to make known who Christ really is, by whom He created the world. And what a shout that from the housetops. Our schools are teaching the lie. What are we doing it? As parents, grandparents, preachers, churches. I'm afraid we're silent when they're speaking up. Like I said, walking out of colleges and saying science proves evolution. No, it does not. Science never proved a lie to be true. And remember, all liars go to the lake of fire. The second verse of our song, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word and trust His grace to Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.